5. A battered red truck had drawn up on the sidewalk and parked. 5 black women sat huddled in the back among a heap of bundles and jerry cans. Their frocks and headscarves were covered with dust. The driver was a hefty fellow with a beer stomach and a greasy felt hat rammed down over a tangle of hair. He leaned from the door of the cab and started shouting at the passengers. Then a gangly old man got out and pointed to an object stuck in among the bundles. One of the women handed him a tubular thing wrapped in clear plastic. The old man took it, and as he turned around, Arkady recognized him. "It's my old friend Stan," he said, "from Popanjee." We went out onto the street, and Arkady hugged old Stan, and Stan looked anxious that either he or the thing in plastic would get crushed. And when Arkady unhugged him, he really looked relieved. I stood in the doorway watching. The old man had clouded red eyes and a dirty yellow shirt, and his beard and hairy chest resembled smoke.
"So what you got there, Stan?" asked Arkady.
"Painting," Stan said, smiling sheepishly.
"What you going to do with him?"
"Sell him."
Stan was a Pintupi elder. The hefty fellow was Stan's son, Albert. The family had driven into town to sell one of Stan's paintings to Mrs. Lacey, the owner of the Desert Bookstore and Art Gallery.
"Come on," Arkady jerked his thumb at the package. "Let's have a see."
But old Stan turned his mouth down at the corners, tightened his fingers and mumbled,
"Have to show him first to Mrs. Lacey."
The coffee shop was closing. The girl had piled the chairs on the tables and was vacuuming the carpet. We paid the bill and walked out. Albert leaned against the truck and talked to the ladies. We walked along the sidewalk to the bookstore. The Pintupi were the last wild tribe to be brought in out of the western desert and introduced to white civilization. Until the late 1950s, they had continued to hunt and forage, naked in the sandhills, as they had hunted for at least 10,000 years. They were a carefree and open-minded people, not given to the harsher initiation rites of more sedentary tribes. The men hunted kangaroo and emu. The women gathered seeds and roots and edible grubs. In winter they sheltered behind windbreaks of spinifex. And even in the searing heat, they seldom went without water. They valued a pair of strong legs above everything, and they were always laughing. The few whites who travelled among them were amazed to find their babies fat and healthy. The government, however, took the view that men of the Stone Age must be saved, for Christ if need be. Besides, the western desert was needed for mining operations, possibly for nuclear tests. An order went out to round up the Pintupian army trucks and settle them on government stations. Many were sent to Popanjee, a settlement to the west of Alice Springs, where they died of epidemics, squabbled with the men of other tribes, took to the bottle, and knifed each other. Even in captivity, Pintupi mothers, like good mothers everywhere, tell stories to their children about the origin of animals, how the echidna got its spines, why the emu cannot fly, why the crow is glossy black. And as Kipling illustrated the just-so stories with his own line drawings, so the Aboriginal mother makes drawings in the sand to illustrate the wanderings of the Dreamtime heroes. She tells her tale in a patter of staccato bursts and, at the same time, traces the ancestor's footprints by running her first and second fingers, one after the other, in a double dotted line along the ground. She erases each scene with the palm of her hand and, finally, makes a circle with a line passing through it, something like a capital Q. This marks the spot where the ancestor, exhausted by the labours of creation, has gone back in. The sand drawings done for children are but sketches or open versions of real drawings representing the real ancestors, which are only done at secret ceremonies and must only be seen by initiates. All the same, it is through the sketches that the young learn to orient themselves to their land, its mythology and resources. Some years ago, when the violence and drunkenness threatened to get out of hand, a white advisor hit on the idea of supplying the Pintupi with artists' materials and getting them to transfer their dreamings onto canvas. The result was an instant Australian school of abstract painting. Old Stan Jackamara had been painting for 8 years, Whenever he finished a composition, he would bring it to the desert bookstore, and Mrs. Lacey would deduct the cost of his materials and pay him a lump sum in cash.